I want you to see what the Word of God says in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1. Just one phrase in particular that I want to point out to you, though we'll look at some other scripture here. But I want you to see one interesting phrase. Have you ever wondered what the angelic beings want to look at, want to look into here on this earth? Now, you see pictured there on the screen what is known as cherubim. The Bible tells us of the angelic realm that God has created. He created cherubim, which are pictured as these figures here and have wings, and they have a special purpose. Also, seraphim. And then he has the archangels like Michael and Gabriel. And we know that these three particular groupings of angels all have the same desire to look into some things. Now, I'll tell you right now, they don't care about looking into Wall Street and seeing what's going on with our economy. You and I might want to look into sports and look into the sports realm. And the angelic beings today are not over there in Augusta, Georgia, wanting to look in on the Masters that's going on. But the Bible tells us in one place that the angels desire to look into something. Look at your Bible, 1 Peter chapter number 2. And look at the last phrase of verse number 12. Chapter 1, I should say. Chapter 1 and verse number 12. Look at the last phrase. Which things the angels desire to look into. Aren't you interested in that? What are the what things that would pique the curiosity of angels? They were there before the world was created. They were there in fellowship with God. They were there when the rebellion took place with Lucifer, and he was cast out along with a third of the other angelic host. They saw the world created. They saw man created. Woman brought from the side of the man. They've seen history. Yet the Bible says there is something that the angels desire to look into. Does that pique your curiosity? It sure does mine. Well, it tells us what they want to look into and what they're curious about and what is special to them. Go back up to verse number 9. Verse number 9, where it's talking about receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So it's talking here in the context about soul salvation, when God saves us and changes us and makes us new creatures in Christ. Verse number 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto who? Unto who? Unto you. That's talking about you and me. Salvation and grace that would come to us. Verse number 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, talking about the prophets, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. My goodness, here is something that the angelic realm still, even today, after seeing all they have seen, there's still something they want to look into. You see, the angelic realm, they did not understand about the sin dilemma. That something must die for the sins of mankind. They saw in the book of Genesis and all the way through the Old Testament that animals had to die. Blood had to be shed. That without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. An innocent one must die, blood be shed, to cover or atone for us who have sinned. And God kept pointing. God kept pointing on down. God kept previewing and showing that one day the perfect Lamb of God, the sinless one, would come and He would die for the sins of the world. And I bet angels just scratched their head and said, "What in the world are they talking about? What in the world is going to be done about man's sin?" Well, my title this morning is simply this, The Mystery of the Ages. The mystery that nobody understood, even Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, even the disciples that walked with Jesus, heard Jesus, saw Jesus tell about His death coming up and about His suffering, they still didn't get it. They didn't understand. They said, "How can this be?" Peter jumped in front of Jesus when Jesus said, "I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to die. I'm going to be suffering and I'm going to be killed." And Peter jumped up and said, "No, you're not." Peter jumped up and said, "No, you're not, Lord. You can't go into Jerusalem." And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You don't know what you're talking about, Peter." You see, it was a mystery. We look back and see a cross, but before the cross, they were looking ahead and could not figure it out. And even the angelic realm today, the Bible tells us there's one thing that interests them and they want to look in, and that's the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, preacher, isn't it pretty simple? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. Isn't that the gospel?" Well, yes, that is the gospel. Well, I got that right here in my head. I know that. I've heard that all of my life. And that's part of the problem. We've heard it, and we've got the little formula in our head, but we don't understand it. We don't understand what God did. Do you know for eternity, we are going to be marveling, looking into the wonders of the gospel forever? You say, "Well, I can see everything about it real quick." But dear friend, you and I can't even scratch the surface of what the gospel is. That Jesus came. God came in the flesh, and that He was the sacrifice for your sin. All of your sin. He bore your sin. He took your sin. God judged Him on the cross because of your sin and my sin. The angels, they want to look in and see. We don't understand. You know, the Bible says that in heaven, the angels, they're going to sing some, but they can't sing the song that you and me are going to sing. A song of salvation, because they've not been saved. They don't know what it is. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It's just words to them, and they know that it's a song of worship for us. But to you and me, we experience amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me and like you. Oh, would you look with me just a second? Got your Bible open right there? Just look quickly. I'm just going to point them out. what we see here of the mystery of the ages. Look at verse number 10. It talks about the salvation that the prophets have what? First of all, they inquired of. The prophets didn't understand it. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all those prophets, they inquired of this salvation. They wanted to look into it. Not only did they inquire into it, verse number 10, but what's the next thing it says they did? They searched diligently. They searched the Scriptures. They would put this Scripture together with this Scripture, and they say, we don't understand this. It says that He's going to do this. It says He's going to do that. And they would try to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. But they inquired. They searched. The third thing they did, they prophesied. It's talking about the prophets here in verse number 10. They prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Talking about us in the New Testament. What does prophesy mean? They preached. They spoke the word that God gave them, and they even wrote it down. And we've got the prophets in the Old Testament. And they didn't even understand what they were writing. They prophesied about it, but didn't understand how all of it was going to come together. What else did they do? They testified. Look in verse number 11. Says that they were searching water, manner of time, the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Do you see those two words right there? Suffering and glory that should follow. That's the main problem with the Jewish people today. Follow me just for a moment here. The Jewish nation, they are looking for Messiah to come. They said Jesus could not be Messiah. Our Messiah is coming in glory. Our Messiah is going to put things right. Our Messiah is going to sit upon the throne of David in Jerusalem. He's coming in glory. Jesus of Nazareth could not have been the Messiah because He suffered. He didn't even fight back. He was crucified. You see, the Jews misunderstand. They look in the Old Testament at all the glory that is to come, but they trip over. It's a stumbling block to them that Messiah would suffer, that He would die for the sins of the people. So you see there in the last part of verse number 11, the Scriptures testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that will come later, the glory that shall follow. And here's the big thing now. Verse number 12, these things were hidden from them, the Old Testament saints. It was hidden from them. Look at verse number 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Those things that were hidden from the writers of the Old Testament, the prophets, they have now been revealed unto us. Revealed unto you and me. Made clear to you and I. That Jesus must die. That Jesus must come to be that sacrifice, to be that payment, so that you and I could be saved, born again, changed from the inside out. You remember right before Jesus went to the cross, Peter denied Jesus three times. Then he sees Jesus crucified. Peter says, "Hey, fellas, I'm going back fishing. It's what I used to do before Jesus came. He's dead now. He's gone. I'm going back to my old occupation." Well, you know what happened on today. They find out that he is not in the grave anymore. He has appeared to Mary, and then he appears to them, and they catch hold of the fact that he is risen. You know what all of those pieces of those puzzles that they had been in their heads for the past 3.5 years walking with Jesus, all the pieces of the puzzle came together and they said, "We see it now. We understand it now. This was all God's plan from the beginning. This was not point A or plan A or plan B or plan C. This was God's only plan from the beginning of time that He would come and die for the sins of the world." There's a lot of things in the Bible that's unclear to us. A lot of things in the Bible that we still have mysterious thoughts about. But there's one thing that is crystal clear, and that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sinned. God came. He died. He made the payment. We can now be born again. And God is going to wrap this thing up one of these days. The Old Testament saints, it wasn't too clear for them. Did you know when the Old Testament person died? You know where they went? Those that believed, those that were saved, the Old Testament saints, they didn't go to heaven. They went to a place called paradise. And Jesus tells about that place, paradise, in Luke chapter 16. We'll not look at that, but you know, Jesus said, the rich man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes. And Jesus goes on to say that rich man in hell was able to look across a big gulf that separated paradise from hell. And that rich man was able to speak over there to paradise and talk to Father Abraham, the Old Testament father of faith, Father Abraham. And they carried on a conversation. And the Bible even said, Jesus said there in Luke 16 that gulf was so big that the people on that side can't get over here and the people on this side can't get over there. And every time somebody in the Old Testament died, they went into the grave. They went into the nether world, the dark regions called paradise. Temporary holding place. Until something's going to happen in the future. And can you imagine? Let's say it seems like Father Abraham's kind of the head down there. He is the one that Jesus mentions in paradise in Luke 16. And you know, when somebody dies up here on earth and they come into paradise, maybe they have like a register like you have in a hotel or a motel, and Father Abraham is there, and every person that comes in, maybe they write their name down, and I can just imagine in my mind Father Abraham, the father of faith that was looking for the Messiah to come. And here Daniel dies, Daniel the prophet, and Daniel comes into paradise. And Father Abraham says, "What's your name?" "Well, I'm Daniel the prophet." "Daniel, let me ask you a question. Did you see him? Daniel, did you see him? The one that was prophesied that was to come? Daniel, did you see him?" Daniel said, "No, I didn't see him. But I did see some visions, and I wrote those visions down, and I did see that there was a stone coming from heaven, a stone not touched with hands that was going to destroy those golden images of Babylon. I didn't see him. But there's that one that's coming." Ezekiel comes into paradise after he dies. And Abraham says, "Ezekiel, come here a minute. Let me ask you, did you see him?" Ezekiel said, no, I didn't see him. But I did see in a vision one that was able to speak to the dry bones. And those bones got up in that desert. One bone came to another bone, and another bone to another bone. And there were skeletons. And then one breathed into those nostrils of those skeletons that took flesh, and they became Israel reborn. But no, I didn't see Messiah. Isaiah, the great prophet that wrote 66 chapters in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, a miniature Bible, the one that wrote about the suffering servant. Abraham, Isaiah, did you see him? No, I didn't see him. But God did inspire me to write about a virgin who was going to conceive. God showed me, and I wrote it down, that a child was going to be born, and the government would be upon his shoulders. And then Abraham, when I got toward the end of the book, chapter 53, I wrote some strange things that I don't understand about a suffering Savior, a suffering servant, that all the sins of the world is going to be placed upon him. But no, to answer your question, I didn't see him. Here comes a fellow in the paradise. His name is Simeon, a priest there in Jerusalem. And Abraham said, Simeon, did you see him? And Simeon says, see him? I got to hold him. I held him when Mary and Joseph brought him to the temple. And God let me see the salvation of the Lord in that baby. I held him up and I praise God. Now I can die. I've seen the salvation of Israel. A little bit later, a man by John the Baptist got his head cut off. And he comes into paradise. And old Abraham says, John, did you see Jesus? John the Baptist says, see him. I baptized him in the River Jordan. Didn't want to, but he made me. I said I wasn't worthy to unlatch his sandal. I even doubted him toward the end of my life and sent word to make sure this is the one that we're looking for. I even pointed him out and told people, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Boy, this is getting excited down in paradise because Messiah is on the earth right now. And then looking down the long hallway in our mind, Abraham says, here comes somebody else. But he's got a light in his hand. It's a bright light. The closer he gets, he says, no, he ain't got a light in his hand. He is the light. Who is this? And as he gets closer, he says, I am the light of the world. I'm Jesus. I am Joshua, the sent one from God. How long are you going to be here, Jesus? Oh, just 3 days. 3 days, and then I'm going to bust everybody out of this place called paradise. I'm going to lead captivity captive. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, after 3 days, didn't stay in paradise any longer. But he led those out of that temporary holding place. And the Bible tells us that, oh, today the saints of God in heaven, when somebody dies today, they don't go to paradise, they go to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But everybody ain't going to heaven. Tell me, preacher, how can I go to heaven? Well, if you'll join our church today, I can guarantee you, you'll go to heaven. What are you laughing at? You know that ain't right. If you'll let me baptize you, that'll secure it. Is that right or wrong? Well, if you'll just live a good life, be a better person, change a few things, rearrange a few things, turn over a new leaf, and just hold on to the end. You might make it. Is that right? No. What did Jesus say? Doesn't matter what I say, doesn't matter what you say, Jesus said, you must be born again. That means there must be a new creation made through the gospel. Through what Jesus did on the cross, through what Jesus paid your penalty for, He promises that He will then take up residence in you, make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And guarantee, not only will you go to heaven, but you'll go there with Him on this earth. You will go with Him beginning today, walking with Him, and He in you, and He with you. That's the gospel. That's what all this Easter stuff is about. The gospel. And the angels, right now, you can't see them, but they are listening and looking intently at our response and our concern and our involvement in that gospel story. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Today God will save you. If He is dealing with your heart, you say, well, preacher, what if God's not dealing with my heart today? I don't feel Him dealing with me. I don't sense He's dealing with me. He's not speaking to me. Well, friend, there's no hope for you. There's no hope for you at all. No hope for one who God is not dealing with. You can't be saved on your own. Only by the Spirit of God drawing you, speaking to you, wooing you. But I guarantee you today, the Bible tells us that when His gospel is preached, that God is drawing people. He said, if we'd lift up the Lord Jesus there on the cross, He said, I will draw men, women, boys and girls to myself. Today, if God has convicted you of your need, if He has shown you your sin, your lostness, you might be in your mind tripping back in time saying, oh, I remember I prayed a prayer a long time ago, and I joined the church a long time ago, and I went to the altar a long time ago. Dear friend, let me ask you, don't go back and look at an event. I'm asking you right now, do you have the witness of the Spirit in you? Do you know that you've been born again? Do you know that Jesus is alive in you right now, that you've been made a new creature in Christ? That when you sin, He convicts you. You grieve His Spirit. Do you have a desire for Him, desire for His church, desire for His Word, desire for His will? You say, I don't have any of those things, but I did go to the altar one time. Dear friend, whatever you did at that altar wasn't salvation. If God is not a living reality in your heart today, question, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And I can hear today tell you, if you recognize your lostness and are willing to call out to God for salvation, He will save you.